Toast and Jam back at it again from the 1047 studios in the Valley City Times Record building in beautiful downtown Valley City. I'm Tim Oast. I go by Toast. Here's Paul McDonald, and he goes by
Jam.
Jamming. Yes,
we be jamming.
You know what I'm really happy about?
The street's done?
Yes!
Yay! We can park normal again.
Most of the streets in downtown Valley City are back to normal. I know that fifth season road construction is almost over.
Well, it's just about. But we got still some construction that's going to be playing havoc with the upcoming school year for a little bit, and I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about that with our guests.
Yes. Is your coaching career now done, or you still have more coming?
I'm done as far as this year is concerned.
Okay.
Though I have a feeling I'll be asked back.
No coach of the year honors? Or?
No. I'm hoping to get a bocce ball team together and see what I can do there.
But. You know, about 4 days of baseball? I thought you'd come back with a nice tan.
I burn, man. I don't tan. I got a farmer's tan going on. You can see where the uniform ended and the arm starts.
Burn, baby, burn.
Oh, disco inferno.
Toast and Jam brought to you by the North Dakota Army National Guard and Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. And our executive producer is the one and only Eric Kringley.
Thank goodness there is only one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a Boston Red Sox fan. Nothing about that, but has nothing to do with it. No. Paul, can you tell us again how our listeners can catch the program, the podcast?
Several ways. So get your notepads and pen and paper. Here we go. You can go with Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Of course, our website, valleycitytimesrecord.com. We put it on our Facebook page. And those are the ways you can get it and listen to us. And, of course, the big way is Toast, T-O-S-T, the letter N, lowercase, toastandjam.com. That's where we have trivia, and that's where we have all of our past episodes, all 28 of them. This is number 29.
Okay. Speaking of trivia, you know, we had that trivia question last week when we had Chase Carpenter in here. We wanted to do the baseball trivia, and we came up with, in Abbott and Costello's Who's on First, I don't know is playing which position. Which position is it? You had it right away.
Did I have it?
You said you had it.
Well, I can't remember what I did this morning, so how in the heck am I going to remember? Was that shortstop?
No.
Or third base?
Third base.
Third base.
Yeah, third base is I don't
That's
know.
That's right. Shortstop is I don't give a darn. That's what it was.
Dang shortstops.
Oh, man. In Venezuela. Anyway.
Okay. Yes, well, that's,
here we go.
Who's on first? What's on second?
I don't know who's on third.
I don't know on third.
Yes.
Okay. Trivia question brought to you by Nodak Insurance. We'll have more trivia coming up later in our show. And right now, though, we're going to bring in our guest, Toast and Jam. Very excited to bring in this week's guest. Always good to talk to him. Welcome, Josh Johnson, Superintendent, Valley City Public Schools. Thanks for coming in this week.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor.
We got to get you really close.
Careful with
just,
that honor.
You know what? You can pull that out
you
of there.
Hold
you
on
want.
To it.
You
too,
can hold
you
on
want,
it.
Josh.
That'd be a lot easier. Yeah. There we go. And then you can hug that mic pretty good.
Toast and Jam. Thanks so much. It's an honor to come in to join you on the show, and excited to follow all the great things that you have that promote Highliners, Vikings, and Valley City,
and everything in between. I guess there's a lot of stuff out there. Hard to believe we're getting ready for the start of another school year, just days away. And that brings about always a certain anticipation. Those kids are getting excited. The younger ones especially, you know. I don't know about the older ones. They're going, oh, no, not another year. But seniors are getting excited. You
Darn
know
right.
that, yeah.
Darn right.
We enter the new school year in Valley City with a lot of new things. I'm going to start out with, I know you're really tickled about the Jefferson Playground. I mean, that is really looking good out there.
How about that? Just again, a shout out to our Jefferson PTO parents who organized all the businesses and community members, individuals that helped to provide the dollars, the funds to be able to upgrade that playground. You know, we ran some numbers, simple math relative to this, about 25,000 hours just only the Jefferson students will put onto that playground in this upcoming school year. And that's not including those Friday night football games when kids are coming over from the football game, they're playing out on the playground. And of course, that's a community playground It's going to be open, accessible to everybody. So we hope to see people out there outside of the school day enjoying playing on the turf, the new rubber mulch, the freshly painted play equipment, basketball court. I guess they call that Jeffer ball.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for the big kids and a lot of cool things that are going to be happening there.
Yeah, no kidding. A lot of footwork on there.
Yeah.
25,000. How many hours?
25,000 hours.
Man.
You know, and that's, again, on the low side of that. That's half an hour of recess a day. We know that they're going to put more time in it and than that, but so that's exciting, and they won't have to play in the mud pit, come in with dirty snow pants and falling off equipment and hurting themselves. You have a nice cushion now with the rubber mulch, and so, yeah, it's exciting. And for all the people that are driving through town, coming up to Hanna Field for events, to be able to see that playground looking the way it is, it's a great reflection on our community.
You bet. Valley City Public Schools will be handling your own busing now. How many buses did you purchase?
Yeah, we are transitioning to running our own bus services for this upcoming school year. So we have 11 buses that we're going to be that we purchased. We're going to run 7 bus routes. The highlight there is 4 of those 7 are going to be the mini buses that are going to go out into the country, running those rural routes, picking up a few students, and then bringing them back to town. So efficiency of fuel, cost savings, but important part of that as well is it allows us to be able to be more flexible with our drivers, because you don't have to have the CDL license when you run those mini buses. And then we'll have 3 regular size big school buses that will run around town. We're going to do a free shuttle bus service for students between our schools, encouraging students to walk from their homes to the schools to get picked up on a bus. And again, that's free of charge for them, but they still need to register for that service. And then people have probably had a chance to maybe see the activity buses that our students in all activities, not just sports, our fine arts as well, are going to be taken when they go on the road and representing the Highliners, Valley City, and with a lot of pride there. And we're happy with how the decal looked and turned out with those 2 activity buses.
Looking really good, as a matter of fact. How about, I know everybody goes through this thing, and a lot of schools are, and that's drivers. How are we looking there?
We're doing really well. Credit back to Jordan Heck, who's our new facilities transportation director, and he's been really working hard. And you know what? People in Valley City have turned out, showed up, and volunteered to drive and sign up for that. And so we have coaches that are going to be getting their CDL license if they haven't already. And then we have all of the drivers hired for covering all the routes. We have some backup people in addition to that. And so there's going to be some growing pains nonetheless, you know, that we're going to go through with taking on this responsibility. But we're excited about it, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities across the district for us with owning our own buses.
I think we found another job for Paul.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ever driven bus?
I actually have driven bus, but I didn't need a CDL because I drove the minibus out of Cheyenne Valley,
okay.
Career and Tech Center.
Right.
I used to drive their small bus every once in a while, but to stop it.
Yep, cool little buses. Oh, the minibuses are going to be super efficient and gas efficient, and so save a buck and work really well for us.
And you approved a lease agreement for the bus building. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we got a roof over the head of these buses. So when you make the purchase that we did, and our buses are in good condition, not only are we thinking about winter weather, inclement weather, to be able to, you know, get them indoors when the temperatures get pretty extreme in North Dakota, but also the conditions this time of year, the UV rays that can have effect, hail and other things as well. And so we were able to finalize that agreement this last week, and we'll rent that now for this next year. And so we're excited about being able to have a place to be able to have the buses and vehicles parked indoors.
All right. Now let's talk to you about maybe a more interesting topic, and that's enrollment.
Yeah.
Where do we stand going into the school year here?
Yeah, we've for the last 3 or 4 years here, we've been on a decline, and that's kind of post-COVID. We started experiencing that, and I think the biggest thing that we saw is we had graduating classes of anywhere from 90 to 2 years ago, we had 115 students that graduated. In reverse of that, our incoming kindergarten classes for the past 2 years, we've been at 60. This coming kindergarten class is going to be about 50. And that's unusual. That's something that we didn't necessarily anticipate with a 50 number. Previous to that, our average was 75 to 80. We'd had St. Kate kids when they got into seventh grade. And so that's what gave us that upper class in the high school now, about 85, 90. We had that bubble class that came through and a couple years ago that had 114, but we had been averaging that 75, 80. And so we're below that right now. And, of course, you start adding two or three classes together, that's 45 kids, and we're less that than where we've been in the past. Now, saying that, we have next year, so the fall of 2025, we're hearing that's one of the biggest preschool classes that has ever come through Valley City. And so is this a little bit of a blip, or is this a trend? And so that's obviously, you know, what we're studying and looking at, anticipating. The hard part about enrollment for us is the financial impact it has on us as, as a district. And so we're paid by the state of North Dakota for $11,000 per student. And that adds up really quickly when you're down 50 to 75 students. And of course, then you got to make cuts and changes to programs, and that's what we've had to do going back over the last several months.
Okay, well, with the downtrend, that changes landscape for athletics and extracurricular activities.
Sure does.
I mean, you know, you got to prepare for that too.
Yeah, sure does. And so we've made several changes, and busing is included with that to be able to save the district dollars. And so we were able to save $300,000 annually on our transportation, district owned, operated. And so in addition to that, as you alluded to, that changes our classification and activities. And so we're looking at transition, final year of Class A, competing in cross country, track, baseball, softball, wrestling. And we're going to make that transition next year for the 25-26 school year to formally be a Class B school. Mm-hmm. And so there's changes that are going to occur, obviously, within that in the competition, and the fine arts included. That includes music and speech as well, student congress. And, you know, so as we've looked at the three-class system for basketball, that's come through. Volleyball will be going to a three-class system next fall, in the fall of 2025. So this will be the last year that the Highlander volleyball team competes in the Class A, but everybody else will be making that transition as well in the fall of 25.
Okay. And I don't know if everybody understands what a student is really worth to you as far as finances from the state. What is that total now?
Yeah, so more than 70% of our total revenue as a district comes from the state of North Dakota. And that is based on, again, primarily enrollment, student numbers. And right now that number, through last legislative session, increased up to $11,000 per student.
Wow.
That's the reimbursement, again, that we get to cover the cost of our operations. And you take that number and you start multiplying that when you lose
20, 30 kids, you know,
that has a significant impact on us. So we're limited in terms of revenue opportunities. We have some local revenue that we bring in through tax levies, very, very minimal, $300,000 of federal revenues. And so, you know, the turn of that then is we have to reduce our expenditures in order to be able to balance the budget. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we're in a position where we carried over some of our COVID dollars. We didn't allocate all those. So that's a nice reserve and a savings for us, so that we didn't have to make as substantial cuts as we had to make this last year. But through the hard work that business department and the school board made, is we're closer to balancing that budget, still having those cash reserves in. And we need to continue, obviously, to move that direction over this next coming year.
Perfect. Do we have all of our teaching positions filled?
Yeah, we're in a great position staffing wise. You touched on busing, bringing on that and hiring those positions. We have coaching positions. There's a couple fine arts positions that we're still trying to fill, speech and drama. But have some applicants, interested individuals with those. And then last year we were sitting here and we were struggling to find support staff positions, cafeteria cook positions, custodial, and I'm happy to say that we've done extremely well this year. A lot of interest in those positions, and so we're fully staffed and ready for the start of school year in about 2 weeks.
You have a new high school principal.
We do. Yeah, so we had a late resignation. Mrs. Brandt headed off to Fargo South after 14 years in service to this school district, so we're happy for her. But that put us in a position where it was pretty late in the game to be able to find somebody. And so we did advertise. We ultimately made the decision that we were going to go with an internal. And so we moved assistant principal Travis Peterson up to the principal position, moved then AD Rob Hunt into a dual role. So Rob will take both the AD and the assistant principal. He'll have some help with game management on the backside of that as well. But that's going to be an interim plan for us. We're going to continue to evaluate whether or not that's something where we can make sure that we're supporting our staff members, supporting students, obviously, and managing the operations of that building. We still have a lot of students there that those two are going to be ultimately responsible for in administrative positions. And so it's a pilot for us and determining whether or not we need to go back and re-advertise those positions to have a principal, assistant principal, and an AD. It was only a year ago where we moved to that model of principal and assistant principal. Prior to that, you remember, we had the 9-12 principal and we had the junior high principal and then AD. So this new model is only a year old and we're already looking at now making some modifications to that. But with the enrollment size that we've been talking about here, this is the shift of what we're doing and where we're going. So again, when we're talking about balancing the budget, that alone, that change for this year saved about $150,000 of expenditures that won't be going out this year because of the shift in principalship of that. And so those are little things that when we talk about busing, we talk about staffing and shifting, being more efficient in things that we're doing. A couple of years ago, we took on that snow removal responsibility. Those are all, again, ways that we have to decrease those expenditures and make sure that we're fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' dollars.
You got it. Okay. Any other changes that we're going to see here that we didn't mention?
Wellness fair coming up next week. We're super excited about that. That's been a partnership that we've had in place with Essentia Health, Medica. Something really cool coming from that is a virtual health room in the high school, 712. And so the idea behind that is a general health need that a 712 student may have. Let's say that their throat, they have a sore throat, they're concerned that maybe they have strep throat. They, rather than leaving the school, make an appointment, parents got to leave work, pick up the child, go to the appointment, miss half a day of school. Now what we can do is, and again, this is not just Essentia Health, this is all providers, CHI, Sanford, others. So a student can reserve the virtual health room at the high school, make an appointment through their provider, and then come down to the office. Again, all this is parental permission, awareness, and then have their medical appointment right there in the high school office, never have to leave the school. And so it's a pilot that we've been working on, and it's going to be implemented this fall through Essentia Health, but again, all providers, so you don't have to switch over to Essentia Health just specifically for that. And so we're curious to see the benefits of that. And just another, again, service, increasing access for just behavioral health. Maybe there's some mental health services that could come with that. Addiction counseling potentially could come through that as well as needed. And just, again, helping focus on, you know, getting kids stay in school as much as they can, help with that attendance part of it, but also making it more convenient for parents as well.
Yeah. What's the date on that again?
So Wellness Fair is August 13th. That's going to be up at Hannah Field. There's going to be burgers. There's going to be brats. There's going to be games. There's going to be outdoor movie on the football field. And then the 9-12 students are going to be bowling from 9:30 to 11:30. And that's, again, 13th. Hannah Field, we hope to see not only all of our parents and students, but that's open to the community as well. So you guys come hungry that day, come out, check it out, and it'll be a fun celebration for the community.
Very good.
The virtual wellness we were talking about, is this something you've seen in other schools, Josh? When you come up with these ideas and you have these things that they're implementing at Valley City High School and Valley City Public Schools, is it stuff that you've seen elsewhere and it's worked there, and you're saying, hey, that'll work for a school our size and we can do that?
No. I think this is a, you know, we've been leaders in education in a lot of ways, and you know, I think we learned a lot through COVID and make sure that our kids were in school, meeting their needs there. And that really strengthened the partnership we had with Essentia Health. And so this came through the grant with Medica, where there's no cost to the district whatsoever relative to that. And so it is a pilot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we'll see how many are going to take advantage and utilize that. Again, just going to emphasize that parents, again, are going to be part of this partnership. They're going to be the ones consenting to allow their children to be able to schedule that appointment. They can be on a third line relative to that. They can come in. They can actually be part of the visit right there in the clinic. So rather than driving over to Fargo, mm-hmm. you know, taking an entire day where you're going to miss school, you can jump in. You can have that visit right with your doctor, mm-hmm. Fargo, wherever that may be. And so we're excited about it. It's coming through the partnership with that and just brainstorming and trying to, again, provide those services for our students, for our staff members, and for our parents.
When you, and just backing up to Travis, internal hirings only help you because you don't have to retrain. This person knows all the students know Travis because he was a teacher, yeah. Then assistant principal, now principal. How big is that just to be able to bring Travis and elevate him up to that principal position?
I think it really speaks positively back to our school district and the excellent educators that we have. Travis is a highliner, graduated from VCHS. He went back, you know, got his schooling, came back. He started as in a support staff position in our school district, so he understands support staff and the important role that they have in the educational system. Moved up and was a counselor up at Jefferson Elementary, an excellent counselor. Had great relationships with students at that level. Thought, okay, I want to get to a classroom, so moved up to a social studies position at the high school, and then you know mm-hmm. thought, hey, I'm interested in administration. I got the qualifications for that. Became assistant principal last year, and now he's in the position as high school principal and leading the ship there at the high school, and with support of our teachers, and it's going to be a collaboration working together. Yeah. Travis only has formally 1 year of administrative experience, and so I'm excited, really excited for Travis, for Rob to be in that position. But the great things that they're going to do working with the staff there to, again, make sure that our students are rocking and rolling, mm-hmm. And that they're doing well.
You know, I'm going to back up too a little bit, and then we'll kind of wrap things up here this morning. But we were talking about the three-class system in basketball, and I know you played a big, big part in that. I talked to Mitch Carlson. I golf with him once in a while in the senior tour, and we had a nice discussion on how that really came through. And, of course, he gives you a lot of kudos on that, too, because you played a big part in that. And it was refreshing. It really was. Three classes in basketball.
It was an excellent year, Toast. Yeah. You know, you talk to most everybody, and it was so much fun to see, you know, competitive basketball played across the state of North Dakota, and boys and girls, competitive games, and the state tournaments were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to misquote this statistic, but I believe that the championship game at the middle division boys between Kindred and Devil's Lake exceeded ratings beyond NDSU football, UND football, and I think it's a top three event. I think high school are broadcast from the state of North Dakota. So the interest and the following in terms of the energy that was created, I have to go back and think of Class B girls, state tournament over in Jamestown.
Had that was huge.
Excellent attendance. You had teams that hadn't been to the state tournament in many years. Killdeer was an example of that, participating in the state tournament. West Hope, B boys, mm-hmm. won the state championship. They were a school, ironically, that wasn't overly excited about the three-class plan. But you look at their region, they would have never, ever made it out there. They were in a region with Bishop Ryan, with DeLax, mm-hmm. and Botno.
Yeah.
It just was. And so those small schools now having that opportunity, it's really exciting. And now we're going to see that get implemented for volleyball in the fall of 25. So as we're making that transition, Valley City High School, we don't belong playing with Barnes County North or those smaller schools. And I'm not saying that we're superior, from a competitive standpoint, but you start looking at the enrollments.
The numbers.
Like Davies coming and playing Valley City. And so likewise, we're excited about that as we make that transition to be able to play in that middle division in volleyball is where we belong and where we should be. And so that'll be fun to see as well.
Any movement, and just one thought here too, we talked about this before we went on here, that middle class in football, if we could just kind of mirror what we have in basketball there, that would be, I think that would be a lot more competitive. I'm not saying that it isn't, but the numbers don't equate.
Yeah, so we're going to be, this will be the last year now for us at the AA level, and so next year we'll be moving to Division A, and so we're going to be playing Oaks, we're going to be playing Lisbon, and what we lose on that toast is we're not going to be in the same division as Devil's Lake, as a Wahpeton. Mm-hmm. And so I think back to the point that you're making relative to that is I think over the next few years, I think the association is going to be able to pick up some data and going to see that natural rivalries are going to be created in volleyball, in basketball,
right,
that hopefully schools again are going to say, hey, you know, what is that going to look like if you carry that over into football? And, you know, they'll have some, hopefully some statistics, some data, again, back to that. They're going to speak to, you know, maybe football's a little bit different or unique. But, again, is there some commonalities that can be created that, you know, justify, I guess, you know, making those changes down the road? And the the Activity Association is looking at that football plan for 2 years. And after that, we'll, again, continue to look at making modifications for that.
All right. Very good.
Well, I know that the Central Cass and Kindred rivalry with Valley City and basketball carry over to the baseball season this summer, and it's fun.
Yeah, shout out to those guys. Again, American Legion just playing in the state tournament, but I also want to give a shout out back to our boys down at Sam's Field, 12U, 10U, that have a great program being developed, and you watch out. Again, Maybe archive this one, because 5 years from now, when we start talking high school baseball at the division of where they're going to be playing, and then also you transition that into American Legion. I hope those boys understand they got something special there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the coaches that have been helping them, they need to keep working because there's a bright future.
And those coaches are going to be in the hot seat next week as we look to maybe have the 12U coaches joining us for next week.
Yeah. Rumor has it there's going to be a championship banner hung down at Sam's Field for the return of school. And nice. So drive by, check that out.
You know, it's kind of cool, too. You know, you don't see a lot of kids doing anything outside anymore. But I was driving by Sam's Field last night. There were some of those kids still practicing and still hitting the ball and catching the ball. That's refreshing. You don't see that enough.
Yep, you're darn right, Tosin, and we're kind of talking right off season, right?
The season's over.
Yep, we're still putting the work in. You know, so you talk about Sam's Field and the successes that we've had with Sam's Field. Now look at Jefferson, and we got that turf up there, and so you know we hope that's going to be an area that's going to be popular for those that just want to throw a football on that artificial turf. You know, spring of the year when we know that grass isn't necessarily it's wet, it's not the most fun place to play on because it's dead grass, and so it's gonna be green up at Jefferson next March.
And the kids, you know, you're talking about excitement, knowing that you can actually win a state tournament is a lot different than going in, oh gee. And then you don't get the kids out that are going, oh, we're just going to get kicked every game. Why should I go out?
Yeah, absolutely. In that, back to your point you made earlier about the three-class plan and some of the goals that we created from the start was participation. Not only the competitive balance of that, but it was participation. And, and so we're going to follow that moving forward as well. Josh, you mentioned, or Jim, you mentioned earlier as well, some of the construction around. Just give a heads up. You know, we talk about enhancement improvements of our community, and Jefferson is a great example of that. But City of Valley City is also doing that in the street projects that are occurring. And so just a heads up to everybody that we are going to have some street construction as we start the school year around the HAC as well as Valley City High School. And so look for those communications, both from the school as well as the City of Valley City. It's going to be a little bit of an inconvenience to start the school year, but we know that people will get walked through. They'll follow the directions and still show up to support the Highliners as we kick off this school year.
Only one question left. How in the world do you get so tan?
One of my hobbies, Toast Jam, is I like to fish.
Okay.
And so this summer, been able to get out on the boat and enjoy some fishing up on Devil's Lake, and absolutely love it. But I also can say that, you know, the hobby farm is up and running. It's going well. So there is some time also spent out on lawnmower, mowing 3 acres plus. And so maybe I've caught some rays that way as well. Okay,
very well, good. Now your helper's gone, so you're going to have to do it yourself.
Hey, I'm excited, you know. The eldest of the Johnson children is moving on to UND, and the nest
is getting smaller.
Starting college, and so we have three yet.
Now he's outnumbered, four women to one.
Oh boy!
I'm looking for some help. If anyone's got any advice, suggestions, I'll take it.
Okay, very good, Josh. Again, thank you so much for stopping in this morning. Appreciate it.
You guys, thanks, and again, just maybe a shout out back to the Times Record and all that you guys do in support of the Highliners, of Valley City Public Schools, the coverage. Let's not take for granted what the media provides for us in Valley City here, highlighting stories, highlighting our kids, highlighting teams and the activities that happen, and so we appreciate it immensely.
All right. Thank you very much, and have a great school year.
Awesome. Yeah. Go Highliners.
Go Highliners. I like it. You can stay with us here, or if you have something to do, you sure can leave us. We're gonna take a little break here. North Dakota Army National Guard, and we're going to get this guy in here, too, one of these days.
Anthony. Yeah.
Thank you, Anthony, for what you do, and thank you for your service, of course.
I actually got a text from somebody with that number I've been giving out.
Oh.
They said, stop giving out my number. This is not the National Guard. I enjoy the show, but stop giving out my number. So I got a new number that I'll be giving out.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be giving out to in a minute.
Well, Guard, you know, a lot of people, and a lot of students, you know, they really don't know what they're going to do in the future, and it's tough sometimes. Do I really want to go to college, or maybe I want to wait? Mm-hmm. The Guards can help you with that. You know, they can even help with a career down the road. But paying for college is a big thing right now. That is huge.
It is.
I mean, you come out of college with, about a $50,000 debt,
yeah,
maybe more at other colleges, and that can hurt. And this way, the Guards can help you out, and they'll kind of direct you in maybe a field you want to take or career.
701-248-8104. That is the new number again, 248-8104.
Cool. Again, congrats to the 12U baseball team, state champions. That's great for Valley City.
Yeah. Two in a row for this group of kids.
Wow, that says something about this group. I think we'll be looking for some bigger things coming our way. And the 10U?
10U, they got out in the quarterfinals.
But had a good year.
They still had a great year. I think about 10 games over 500.
Okay.
And had another great summer. So their season's done. Legion, of course, wrapped up this past weekend in Mandan at the state tournament. And so baseball is, we still have town team, but baseball for the kids is all wrapped up now. And they're all getting ready for the college scene.
There's something flying around in this room that is bigger than usual. It landed right on you.
Well, they always say they want to be a fly on the wall. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Josh. Oh, goodness. Oh my gosh, really?
I got that spy from that other podcast. Yeah, wondering what's going on here.
What's going on? Catching
as long as it doesn't sting.
Well, I know. There it is. It likes the light, so keep it up there. Anyway.
Go to the light.
Legion baseball, though, that was a good tournament.
They did
not get embarrassed at all. I mean,
absolutely not.
They have nothing to be down about. They made it to the state tournament. Yeah. A lot of teams don't make it. You know, so.
No, exactly. And, you know, it's a great experience. I know with a lot of younger guys that got a chance to play in that, now know what it's going to take to get to that level.
Okay. How about on this day in sports history? I know we went long with Mr. Johnson,
a
lot of good information there. On this day in sports history, Cy Young, on this day in 1890, future Hall of Fame pitcher, throws a three-hit ball in his Major League Baseball debut for the Cleveland Spiders. They beat the Chicago Colts 8-1. Later, the Chicago Cubs, I suppose.
The first of 511 wins.
Aye. 1936, I thought this was interesting. American athlete Forrest Towns runs a world record 14.1 in a 110-meter hurdle semifinals at the Berlin Olympics. It was a tough time, you know. Later, he couldn't match that time, but still wins a gold in the final. 14.1 in the 110 hurdles. Let's see. Satchel Paige.
Old Satchmo.
1952, St. Louis Browns veteran pitcher Satchel Paige, mm-hmm. age 46.
Okay, he's fairly young.
Becomes the oldest pitcher to win a complete shutout, 1-0, against the Detroit Tigers in 12 innings. 12 innings!
No really? One really knows how old he really was when he got all said and done.
No birth certificate on that one. Some Minnesota sports. 1967, Twins pitcher Dean Chance. Could never hit a ball, but he could pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Throws a perfect no-hitter against the Boston Red Sox, 2-0, before the game is called because of weather. I think they only went five innings.
They went five, yep. It was only a five-inning perfect game.
In 1983, first NFL exhibition game in Europe, Minnesota Vikings beat St. Louis 28-10 in London's Wembley Stadium. Okay. I didn't know that was the first one.
Interesting.
And one more, 1989, Boston Red Sox retire Baseball Hall of Famer, left fielder, first baseman, Carl Yastrzemski, the Yaz,
yeah.
number 8. That one's for our good friend Eric Kringley. Sports birthdays, not as many. David Robinson, 59, today. San Antonio Spurs also has an Olympic gold.
Mm-hmm.
Max Kellerman, American sportscaster, ESPN, born on this day in 1973. Those are the two that I have.
How about a question?
Huh?
No, it's not many.
No. Trivia question brought to you by Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent.
Of course.
Are we talking about the basket again?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We could talk about all those eggs in one basket. But, of course, if you want everything insured, business, vehicle, home, everything that you care about, you go to Nodak Insurance, give Chris a call. The agent with answers at 845-2912.
Trivia question in regard to the Olympics. What was the first city to host the Olympics twice? What was the first city to host the Olympics twice? Think about that. We'll have the answer next week.
Interesting.
That is our trivia question. Do you have a thought
on that? Yes.
Okay.
I do.
That's our trivia question for this week, brought to you by Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. You know, I don't have any words of wisdom today, but I do have a golf saying.
Okay.
Golfing taught me hard work, patience, and every curse word imaginable. Thank you, golf.
Thank you, golf. And, of course, we got some guys with Valley City ties that are heading to DL this week for the Pine to Palm. Just talked to Jared Lentz here a little while ago, and he's on his way there. Ben Sorensen will be playing. A lot of the guys that don't live in Valley anymore but have Valley City ties.
Right. And the guys that usually played, they're dads now.
They're dads.
They have another job.
They're busy doing something else.
I think I know one in my family, too. So.
Yeah.
He's been there a few years, along with Travis Ingstead was another one. And, mm-hmm. of course, they're dads now.
Yep, now they're dads.
Yeah, it kind of takes away from the golf game. Well, that's Toast and Jam for this week, brought to you by North Dakota Army National Guard and Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. Paul, tell us again how we can listen to Toast and Jam.
You can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to valleycitytimesrecord.com. You go to our Facebook page for Valley City Times Record. And, of course, Toast and Jam. .com, all of our past episodes, and I'll remember to put the trivia question on this week. I think I forgot last week, and I'll do that, put that trivia question on there, and that's the spot.
And just remember, between Toast and Jam, it's just a letter N.
Just the letter N.
Toast
yep.
and Jam. Yep. .com. And that's the easiest way to really
that's
lock in.
That's the easiest way, and you got all 28 past episodes you can listen to as well.
And we don't thank this guy enough. Thank you, executive producer Eric Kringley. You are a hero, our hero.
And he may be in studio
yes.
helping us next week.
Well, I need all the help I can get because you're gone. You're on vacation. Oh, my gosh. Whew, that's
scary.
We
might get more listeners.
I doubt it. We're going to drop off like a rock. That is it from the 1047 studios. And again, thank you, Josh Johnson, for joining us today. Have yourself a nice week, Paul. Take care. And
you too.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.